Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya Biz.
Monday to Thursday,
6 to 8 p.m.
Kaya959.
959.
On the street.
On the air.
Kaya Biz, on the street, on the air. Remember, if you have any questions or any feedback, you can tweet us at Kaya on air using the hashtag Kaya Biz. You can also call us 086-00-00-959. Right, so over the last 4 years or so, we've been reading and hearing about how people are moving away from Johannesburg and going to Cape Town and how incredible Cape Town is. And now we are seeing a trend of people coming back. So in order to discuss this, I'm joined by Jonathan Kohler, CEO of Lansdowne. They focus on real estate. Jonathan, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just give us some insight and maybe some numbers on what you're seeing about people who've moved to Cape Town and are considering the move back to Johannesburg.
Thank you very much. As you stated earlier, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, with the sort of promise of better infrastructure, you know, a sort of nicer lifestyle move, you know, people have been moving down to the Western Cape. And I think a lot of people have arrived there, realize that sort of like for like in terms of the real estate space, you know, you're spending so much more on rental. And I mean, I'll give you an example, you know, whether you're renting or whether you're buying, you know, just an example on a one bedroom apartment. You know, you can rent a one bedroom apartment sort of in the northern areas of Johannesburg, let's say for 6,000 rand a month. And then you go through to Cape Town, you're staying in a similar sort of area, let's say like a Bloburg area outside of Cape Town, you're spending 13,000 rand a month.
Sure.
Okay, you know, so I think that people were not only willing to take a knock on their salary moving to Cape Town because of the lifestyle, but they were willing to spend more on it. You know, but I think what's happening now, you know, we're finding more and more people, they're moving down for the lifestyle. Not only is their property more expensive to rent or to buy, but in terms of the actual lifestyle choices, you know, they might be living in Bloburg, but these guys want to go and spend time in Sea Point. You know, they want to go to Camps Bay. You know, they want to eat at the nice restaurants there, sit by the sea, et cetera, et cetera. And those are simply just priced for international buyers, you know. So I think people are starting to find that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of value in Joburg in the property market, both if you're trying to rent or if you're buying. And also, you know, the sort of central business district is still in Johannesburg, you know, so they're getting better job offers now. So they're getting better job offers to come back to Johannesburg. They're getting paid more. They're realizing that the lifestyle choice, although, you know, the sort of the look of it of the lifestyle is better on paper, but when you're there, it's much, much more expensive. And they're not even living in the good lifestyle areas.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like when people emigrate and then realize how good they have it in South Africa.
Exactly the same.
So you have said that the average home price in Johannesburg is about 1.3 million rand compared to 2.1 million rand in Cape Town. And to further touch on your point that you brought up now, if you live in, let's say, the northern suburbs in Johannesburg, or you live in the parks, for instance, and you want to get the same lifestyle, you want to live in Newlands or you want to live in Claremont in Cape Town, you actually cannot, and there's a disconnect there. That's what you're speaking about.
100%. You know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, if you, I mean, all the way up to, I mean, if you're looking at a super luxurious home, mm-hmm. and you're looking to buy in sort of the Morningside area or the Sandton area, and you're looking for a large freestanding home, it obviously depends sort of area to area. It's very specific. I mean, it can be specific on different sides of the road, you know. But if you're looking at sort of Morningside, which is a very affluent area in Sandton, 4,000 square meters of land, you know, you're looking at picking up a house there at 2010 sort of values at 10 million rand, where if you're looking at Constantia, 4,000 squares, you're looking at 30 million rand. And that goes all the way from the top end of the market down to the bottom end of the market, where if you're buying a little one-bedroom apartment, you're spending 600,000 for a one-bedroom in a Paulsdorf, in a Bryanston, in a Fourways, in a Lone Hill. Mm-hmm. And then you go to sort of a Bloburg, a Kells River, a Gordon's Bay, et cetera, and you're spending 1.2 million. I mean, it's literally double.
Sure.
So, across the board, it's just much more expensive, you know. And it's also important to note that, you know, that in over the last while, you know, the property prices in terms of what you're able to rent Cape Town property prices for, and what you're able to buy Cape Town property for in the outlying areas is starting to stagnate slightly, and we're not getting the rental numbers that we were before, and we're not getting the resale demand as we were before. So this is, you know, taking aside your Atlantic seaboard, you know, whether you're buying in Camps Bay or you're buying in Fresno, et cetera, et cetera. But if you go to the outlying areas, a little bit of stagnation happening, which is not great news for the Cape Town property market. However, you can't have capital appreciation year on year and year on year, you know, because it's not bulletproof. And the truth is that that sea point, sort of Atlantic seaboard side is being pushed by international buyers. You know, I think that the people who have moved from Joburg to Cape Town, the affluent people, the guys who are going to have moved. And I think the people who have gone there for the lifestyle are coming back to Johannesburg, would bode well for the South African property market because it's been stagnant for a long time. And I think we'll start to see some rejuvenation in the Johannesburg property market going forward.
As a result of those people coming back, it's interesting that you saying that Cape Town remains a top draw for high net worth individuals.
100%. I think, listen, I mean, I think that the people who would have left from, who would have semigrated from Johannesburg to Cape Town, in my opinion, have gone.
Okay.
I think that, you know, even speaking for myself, I was given, you know, my wife and I went and had a look at Cape Town, and, you know, also the promise, Lansdowne have offices in Johannesburg and Cape Town, you know, go to Cape Town, have a look. I just don't see value there. You know, like, it's beautiful, but I don't see value in the residential property prices. And when you're talking a high-end property that you're spending a lot of rand in, you can't just look at capital appreciation. You have to look at the rand dollar. There are a lot of things that you have to look at. And with the extra property taxes that Cape Town is now charging on residential properties, it just becomes more and more expensive. And it becomes a lot of money to put in South Africa if you're in the high end of the market.
I see. When you talk about that more expensive though, Jonathan, you'll know if you're based in Johannesburg that for the last week, some people didn't have water for 6 days in a row. Some people didn't have water for 4 days in a row, and then the power went out today. And those things are not tangible. They're not quantifiable, but you just wake up one day and you say, actually, you know what? I know that maybe in Cape Town there's load shedding, but then the city makes sure that whatever Eskom is putting you on, Cape Town gets on one lower load shedding. There's not so many potholes damaging my car each week, which means I don't have to replace four tires in 2 months. I'm tired of this. I want to go there. How much of that sentiment is still at play?
I think there is still that sentiment at play, and don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not sort of advocating, you know, that Cape Town is a great place. It's a great place.
Yeah.
It's a great place for investment, you know. I mean, we go there a lot, you know, our office is there. We've got a lot of growth there, you know. I mean, it's a great place to live. However, you know, if you're having a look at the cost of living there versus the cost of living here, you have to look at, I mean, if you're moving into a secure estate, you need to investigate the estate. Does this estate have solar? Does it have backup power? Does it have a grey water system? Is it in a secure area? Does it have 24-hour security, et cetera, et cetera? You know, so you can, you can offset against a lot of those risks of being in Johannesburg, but, you know, in the long term, that infrastructure needs to improve. You know, the local municipalities need to improve. They need to become profitable, and the infrastructure does need to approve for sort of a real capital appreciation to take shape in Johannesburg again. But I do think that you can offset a lot of the problems with buying smartly. You know, I mean, if you're having a look at a freestanding home, and you're thinking, you know, in Sandton over the last couple of days, there's been water on and off for 3 weeks. But if you are purchasing a property that has a borehole is a great property to buy. You know, so like there's certain things that you can offset it. I mean, it's not going to fix all of the potholes in all of the road. You know, that's sort of a deeper municipal issue.
We don't have time
issue.
For that right now. Yeah. We'll spend the whole show talking about it.
So like I'm not advocating that Cape Town isn't a great place. The infrastructure is better. The municipalities are better, but at what cost? You know, are you going to work for your same company, but you've taken a pay cut in a place that you need a pay increase?
I see. I get you.
And are you living in the area close to your office, or are you living in the outskirts and you're actually not living the lifestyle that you thought in Camps Bay in a 30 million rand home, mm-hmm. but you're living in sort of a Kales River. It's a long drive. The rent is double. The bond repayment is double what you're paying. The rates and taxes is more expensive. And you're not planning for retirement, for example, with extra money that you could invest.
I hear you. So apparently last year there was a 15% drop year-on-year in home loan applications. And this year home loans are up 2.2%. I'm assuming it's because in 2023 inflation was really high. And I don't know what else is leading to that renewed interest and renewed stability and people applying more.
I mean, it is because inflation is less, you know, interest rates also drop, you know, like I don't think over sort of COVID times, yes. you know, guys were really applying for bonds, agent couldn't do appointments and things like that, you know, so yes. We can be encouraged by an increase in home loans. You know, the stat that I'd like to see is out of those home loan applications, how many approvals were there? And in what areas were there, you know, because generally, if you have a look at your sort of national property developers that are building the same type of buildings, you're finding that in the Johannesburg, Pretoria area, things are pretty stagnant. In the KZN, Umhlanga area, things are pretty stagnant. And in Cape Town, things are moving. I do think, however, that, that, you know, with inflation numbers looking low and they're sort of readjusting that inflation target to 3%, as well as a reduction in interest rates, I do think that there's going to be rejuvenation. I think Johannesburg is the central business district. It's still the capital. More people are moving here looking for jobs, you know, in the more sort of low to middle income bracket. And I think that will drive the market, you know, but the real sort of value is, are the people applying for bonds, do they have affordability? You know, because I think there's a massive issue in the market in terms of affordability, keeping health of your credit score, et cetera, and actually getting approvals. You know, that's another thing altogether.
Yeah. Jonathan, I wonder if the property sector sometimes needs to be reined in. I understand that it's a market where you can say, I would like this, it's a supply and demand, and I would like to sell my home for X amount, and a person comes along and offers you X amount, and the deal is done. When I'm seeing that an empty plot in Clifton fetched 170 million rand last year, or a parking bay sold for 1 million rand, I'm like, we need to rein this in, surely. Especially pricing out South Africans or business people. I mean, let's keep it tidy.
Listen, I mean, I think that, you know, when that article that came out selling a home for 170 million, I mean, I sat with my MD in an office and I was like, why are we not selling 170 million rand homes in Cape Town? You know, but I mean, for me, it's unsustainable.
Yes.
I think that, you know, there's such a bubble in Cape Town at the moment, and there's been bubbles before, and I'm calling it that there is a bubble coming in Cape Town. It will start on the sort of outer lying areas, you know, where it will sort of tear off. I think the Atlantic seaboard, it's more bulletproof, but it's not completely bulletproof. There's been bubbles there before. And especially now with the Rand, you know, with the Rand is volatile. It's hard to know whether it's strengthening or weakening, but at the moment it's strengthening. And when you're selling a home for 170 million Rand, you need to know if there's a person from Germany who's buying in euros and they're having a look at Cape Town. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and they're about to pull the trigger on a property there, and the Rand is, or a person buying in dollar, you know, the Rand was, it was at 20 Rand to the dollar, and they're about to buy, then it strengthens to 17 Rand 40 in 2 months. And they're suddenly having a look at it and think, you know what, it's actually more affordable for me to buy a home in Greece, for example. Mm-hmm. That will start to tear off, you know. So in my opinion, I mean, the international property market can't rally forever in that Atlantic seaboard. So I do think it's madness, and I think it's, you know, I think people entering into the market don't just think it's going to be bulletproof and you can buy anything in Sea Point, Fresne, Camps Bay, Clifton, and it's just going to appreciate for the rest of time. You know, because when the capital appreciation sort of tears off and there's a bit of a bubble and you lose sort of 20 to 30% in the year, which you can easily do, and then you've also got the rand that depreciates the other way against the US dollar, and you lose 20 to 30% against the US dollar, which is it's quite easy depending on what happens politically, you can lose 60% on your investment. And it's happened before, you know, so I mean, it's, I don't think it's a sustainable long term, but I'm also just jealous that I didn't sell a property for 170 million myself.
Yeah, you know, imagine the commission on that. So when we're looking at the Western Cape and Gauteng and comparing them, the Western Cape is said to have led in building activity. People are getting excited. As you've spoken about, people want to build there. It's a beautiful city. And Gauteng seeing a lag in building, not so much excitement about Gauteng.
So I think it's it's all based on sentiment in the market. You know, I mean, if people in Gauteng have seen, and I can tell you pretty much from 2010 there's been close to zero capital appreciation in the Gauteng residential property market. You know, so people are apprehensive to make an investment in residential property when there's no capital appreciation. And it's also based on sales. You know, I mean, if you're looking at a property developer, they have to get their sales before they can build. You know, so unless they're hitting their sales, they can't build. You know, so building is sort of tearing off in Cape Town because this, I mean, in Joburg, because the sales are tearing off, whereas in Cape Town, the sales are doing well, you know, so the building is doing well. If you look at the commercial property market as well, there's not much commercial building from scratch, you know, because the building costs are just too expensive. You know, people keep saying the Sandton skyline, why aren't we building skyscrapers in Sandton? The reason why they're not building skyscrapers is because with the land, the expensive rezoned land costs, and then the new build cost is just too expensive for commercial property, and they will not get tenants to create a yield that's worth building. Hence, you're getting a lot of sort of rejuvenation of old buildings, old commercial buildings into residential, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas in Cape Town, you can build a new commercial building and you can get the yields because things are expensive. So I think that's really the difference between them, you know. So there's still, I just don't see any new skyscrapers being built because it's just, they're just not affordable and they won't get the yield. However, secondhand buildings, you know, changing them from commercial to residential, that's really where the value is. And I think that's where a lot of companies are making good money doing that.
All right, so you spoke about sentiment now, and even this conversation that we're having is adding to the sentiment about Gauteng and the Western Cape, Johannesburg versus Cape Town, excitement about people coming back. And that can, someone can be listening and think, you know what, actually, maybe I should move back. How much of that do we see when it comes to the property sector, whether it's about cities or whether it's about a certain building? You have to create a narrative. You have to make people feel like they're buying into a lifestyle when essentially they're buying a home and they're not sure what's going to happen there. You're not going to become suddenly a sophisticated person because you live in the Sandton skyline. You're just a person living in the Sandton skyline or one of those high-rise buildings there.
Yeah, I think with the sort of downwards cycle of the interest rates, every single time you get a 25 basis points drop, you know, the sentiment changes slightly. You know, it's not like you're going to have an interest rate drop and people are just going to be like, oh, the property market is pumping again, you know, I'm going to start buying. But you get a 25 basis points and you get another 25, then you get another 25, then you get another 25. You know, you start to get a lot of more interest in the Johannesburg market. You know, first it starts with interest. It doesn't sort of conclude into sales yet, but, more inquiries that, you know, people at, the agents are taking people through. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in my opinion, Joburg has a lot of value at the moment, you know. So the savvy investor, whether you're buying a freestanding home for you to live with your family or if you're buying an investment property, it's a good time to buy. I don't think we're going to get any more depreciation. And you start to get some reverse immigration from Cape Town again. And you just sort of get a snowball of a few different things moving. You know, like they always comment on how many families are moving from Johannesburg to Cape Town. But how many families move from the rest of the country to Gauteng? Many more than move from Joburg to Cape Town. So Gauteng's got over 10 million people. You know, we've still got the masses, we've still got the power, and more people are moving here all the time. So a little bit of sentiment shift, and we can become the powerhouse again, and then you start to get the capital appreciation, and then the rental prices start going up, and then the sales prices start going up. You know, so in my opinion, a great time to buy. We have to be bullish about Gauteng. You know, I mean, it's our bread and butter for most of the country.
Yeah, it's our richest city. It's also one of the most vibrant and culturally dynamic cities. People always speak about how Cape Town is so diverse, but I think when you live in Johannesburg and you see the art galleries, the people, the culture, the incredible greenery, there's no city like it. There really is no city like this.
But 100%. Jonathan, and also just to add, you know, like the hunger of the people in Gauteng, there's an electricity in Johannesburg. When you speak to people, when doing business, people are open for business and they're hungry for business. You know, it's more of a sort of relaxed environment with Cape Town, and with that you get a better sort of less stressful lifestyle. You know, but that electricity, that energy of people trying to move forward, etc., that's in Johannesburg. It's always been like that.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, in a minute or less, can you just give us some tips about if you're thinking of investing in property in Johannesburg, where do you need to be looking, in your opinion, and what do you need to be doing?
Okay, I would really base it on the rental yield. I think the rental yields are very, very important. You know, so if you're looking for a specific rental yield, obviously areas are important as well. I mean, you can look at upcoming areas that, for example, are going to get the Gautrain. You know, if you have a look at Fourways, for example, a lot of people don't like Fourways. You have a look at Fourways, you think the Gautrain station is coming to Fourways in time, which will mean that, you know, for commuters, etc., there's going to be a lot of infrastructure poured into the area. Have a look at those areas. There's a lot of value there. Have a look at what yield you want, and then have a look at the purchase prices and offer the purchase price where the yield makes sense on your numbers.
Stunning.
You know, the only thing you can control in terms of purchasing a property is the price that you come in at. And I'm telling you now that there are deals to be done at pre-2010 prices in the residential market where the rental yield will be super attractive. I'm talking net rental yields of between 10 and 12% with all costs. And then if you get a little bit of capital appreciation, you know, when the market starts to change, you're going to get your 10 to 12% rental yield plus your capital appreciation.
Jonathan Koller, CEO of Lansdowne, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Really great to chat to you about property sentiment and so much more. And that's where we leave it on Kaya Biz for this evening. Thanks so much for being with us. Good evening.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.